kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And I'd like to share with you today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. And we have a title for our teaching today, The Light of God Shines on His Word. The Light of God Shines on His Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hallelujah. So we're discussing today, the light of God shines on His Word. And I trust that we will see this and we will appreciate and we will give Him all the praise and all the glory. Why do I mention about the light of God that shines upon His Word? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And we must never forget this. We are told this in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Let's remind ourselves again in the context of what we're talking about here. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So there we are, the greatest light that has come into the world of darkness is the light of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word, and the Word made flesh. And that light has to shine upon his word in which to open our eyes, our heart, to illumine, to give us that revelation. But we shall look at that later on. So what we have read back here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 to 4 gives a clear understanding how dependent we are on God's light to illumine his word. I think sometimes we don't fully appreciate that it takes the light of God, the glory of God, to shine upon his word, that we may see this word, that we may be able to comprehend it and study it and take it into our hearts. Sometimes we take this for granted. But I trust after this teaching tonight, you are going to praise and glorify God, how he works in your life, and both individually and corporately. But we have to accept that all don't believe. And this was the same in Christ's ministry, and it was the same in the early church. We tend to be sometimes of the opinion that that is a problem in these last days. It's all part of the falling away. But it was not. It was during the times of the early church, else the apostle would not be writing this in the manner that he is. So nothing new under the sun. And most today, as we know, reject the gospel. They reject the fact that their Christ is coming back to rule and reign. He's coming back as judge. They reject this. They reject his death and his resurrection. In fact, it holds little interest. If you were to talk to people in general about Jesus and how he came and how he was that sin offering for the world, that we might have a new life through him, you will find there is little interest. If man were to solve most of the problems today, if he believed upon the word of God and he received the word of God, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, that our ministry, where everyone we preach, everyone we share, believes upon the gospel. Then we would find, wouldn't we, there wouldn't be these wars, there wouldn't be this corruption amongst governments, there wouldn't be this greed, violence, drugs, alcohol, the depravity that we have today. There wouldn't be any of that. Wouldn't it be wonderful? But God has not ordained it that way. And why do they reject the gospel? That is a good question. They don't believe. And the reason that they don't believe, because the apostle brings it out here. But even if our gospel is, the King James, I believe, put hid, but it really means veiled. And we're going to look at that word later on as to why he's put that there. But if the gospel is hid or veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So they don't believe because it's hid. They can't find it. They can't see it. It's veiled from them. And that's why they are perishing. And so this brings me to the first point of view with regard to what the apostle is writing here. Here is the major problem. Here is where we see unbelief. We often refer to that word. God challenges us with unbelief. And he's going right to the root of the problem. Because unbelief is where you are not seeing or hearing properly. You ask me to believe. The people will say today, you ask me to believe with all the suffering and the sickness that goes on. And you have the gall to ask me to believe? There's nothing in it, they will tell you. Where are the miracles? Where are the miracles today? All we have today is wars and violence. You ask me to believe in the resurrection. And yet you tell me that there will be judgment. There will be hell for those who don't believe. And they'll tell you it's rubbish. It's working fear in people. They'll tell you that people believe anything. They'll persuade themselves to believe on anything. That's how gullible people can be. But I am not gullible. It's possibly right for some, it may be right for you, but they'll say it's certainly not right for me. Here is the old problem that the apostle is raising here. And we get this if we look back, we touched on this on Sunday in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 20 to 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 25. For all the promises of God Sorry, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 20:25. And he says here, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So the Greeks, he says, the philosophers, the great thinkers, what need do we have of this? The cross, the message of the cross. They will say, well, these Jews, these Hebrews, they don't give us great thinkers, great philosophers. How are we going to believe a man, the Son of God, born in a stable? He was raised up, his profession, a carpenter. And here he is supposed to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to bring in the kingdom of God. Is he supposed to be a king? Many who see saints today, they see us, they laugh at us, they mock us, they feel sorry for us. Did you know the Romans made fun of Christians? They made entertainment out of them by throwing them to the lions or lighting them up at night as human torches. Mocking. They will say, if we can see intelligent people, we might believe and be interested. But what they don't realize is that the body of Christ is made up of many people, of nations, culture, education. That is the point. But they are blinded to that. Well, this brings me then to the second point. We don't need the gospel because we have scientific knowledge. We have progressed today. We now have technology. We now have our computers, our smartphones. Transport now is completely different to what it was. We can fly and get to destinations in a few hours. And not only that, but we've got medical science now that can keep us alive. And so on. So what need do we have of the gospel? You see, the good news is that the word doesn't have to change. The word of God doesn't have to change through any dispensation, through any time, through any generation or whatever. It is the same. Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever, and he changes not. There is nothing new in unbelief, because that's what we're talking about. And the reason being is because there's nothing new in unbelief is because it's revelation. We are dependent on revelation. The light of God's glory shining on his word. We are desperate for that. We survive on that. We are completely dependent on that. else we have these areas of unbelief that God has to still deal with in our lives. God is sovereign, and you can't find him because he has to be revealed. And it's the same through every generation. You cannot find God, you cannot know about God, you may think you do, unless he reveals himself to you. That is how dependent we are on God as Christians. And wish to God more Christians had a godly fear with that. And Paul had this same revelation. And the same with us. He was dependent on the Spirit giving him revelation and his mind being illumined in which to understand that revelation. So there we are. We're dealing with this area of unbelief that the world has. Which then brings me to the third point. We're dealing with the light of God shines on his word. And the third point is the view of unbelief, or the nature of unbelief. And what is the nature of unbelief? I'll read it again to you back in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So I've already raised the fact it's hid, it's veiled. Now, the King James uses the word hid, but it's not really the correct translation. How do we know this? Because the apostle has already been speaking about this back in chapter 3. And if we look at verse 12, and he says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Now he's giving a clue to why Israel, the Jews, are blinded. They have this veil that they can't see. They fail to understand that the law given through Moses was to bring them to Christ, to bring them to mercy and grace, but they rejected it. Why did they reject it? Because their hearts were hard, were stone. And that's why God gave them the law first. On what? Stone. It was engrafted. But God had got to work in the heart of man, and only the gospel, only Jesus Christ could change man's heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And this is what he's talking about here. The law is important. The law is good because the law brings us to Christ. The law condemns us. The law reveals to us that unbelief so that we can do something about it. But the Jews rejected all of that. And as we know, they perished in the wilderness. And only a remnant of two survived and came out of it. And so the veil comes between the heart of man. And this veil, the idea of this veil is like something that's wrapped around the eyes. This is the idea of what he's talking about here. Why can't I believe? Why is it I can't believe? Sometimes we've said this, haven't we? Why is it I can believe in certain areas and other areas it just seems I can't believe? The reason you can't believe is because you're still veiled. You're not seeing. And it takes the mercy and grace of God. It takes revelation to be able to see. Your faith, my faith, is based on revelation. Getting it from the head to the heart. And so this veil is like it's wrapped round my eyes. I can't see. It's like when we experience fog or a mist. I know I've been many times to the Lake District where I've tutored there. But some days when we got up in the mornings, there was mist out. And yet I knew there were mountains and hills. I knew it was there, but I couldn't see it because there's fog, there's mist. It's like a blind person who can't see. They want you to describe to them what it is you're seeing. They want to try and imagine in their minds. And this is exactly the same with the gospel. It's exactly the same with our faith. People look at things and they see nothing. It can be like music. There's great music that's been composed over the centuries. But some people get nothing out of it. Doesn't mean a thing. Or great art. The great artists of the past. What they could achieve in painting. Many get nothing out of it. They don't see it. Or literature. Or whatever it would be. Man in sin can't see because the God of this world has blinded them. And this is why God has to open our eyes. And this is why we have to accept that we are saved and we are being saved. And the being saved is God is opening our eyes. But it's also for the asking. It is also wanting to see more. That's the question. As I said on Sunday, that the world is in such spiritual ignorance with all its technology and everything that it boasts about. Yet it is so spiritually blinded. Why? Because the world cannot see. And why can't they see? Because the devil works in his subtlety. He deceives. He's the one that does it. We know this because he deceived Eve. He raised the question, hath God said? He got her to question God. And God had created them not only innocently, but he created them with a simple childlike faith to simply believe. And on the basis of listening to him and questioning, he blinded them to what? The glory and revelation of Almighty God. They could no longer see him anymore. They were no longer being illumined like they were. They were not seeing God's glory, God's light. He knew exactly what he was doing. And it was the same when Christ, Messiah, came. Many saw the Son of God. Many saw his ministry. They saw the miracles. They heard the preaching and the teaching from him. But they wanted to get rid of him because of their unbelief, their prejudice. Did you know that unbelief is fundamentally prejudice? You say to me, is it, Pastor? I've never thought of it like that. Well, how many of us have said, I can't face this anymore. I can't face this truth anymore. I'm in denial. Or I want to hide, I want to run away. There we are. That's what it is. Or the fear of change. Or the fear of commitment. Or what my family will think, or what it will do. We can still contend with those things. You see, society wants to believe in all the trash and filth of today. They sooner go for these celebrities and idolatry. Why? Because they are veiled. The gospel is hid from them. Satan has perverted man's mind and heart. And that's what he does. He perverts man's mind, his heart. Nothing new to it. We know this in Romans chapter 1. Particularly in verse 28, he says, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind. That is the devil's work. And why is this? Because the gospel is hid. It's veiled. And the question I raised is this new? Is this new, what I'm sharing with you and talking with you today? Not at all. How about the times of Noah? And God said, I will send a flood. I wish I had not made man. God regretted it because the days were so evil. And what did Jesus say in the last days? It'll be like the times of Noah. The ages, the days will be evil. Man only thinks evil. His mind, his heart is perverted. And why? Because the gospel is hid from them. It is veiled. Unless God has mercy and he opens our ears and eyes and hearts. Because you cannot understand this word, this gospel, unless the Holy Spirit baptizes you and opens your eyes to see it and understand it and live to its principles. We wish we could open the eyes of everyone, but we're dealing with God's unfolding divine plan, and that's why we can't do it. I would love to open every eyes. I'd love to open the eyes of those that come into the room, those that don't stay very long. But I can't do it because it's God's sovereign unfolding plan for the world. And he doesn't make a mistake. Even we can be offended sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to think that God gives power to the devil to blind eyes. That's not an easy one to swallow. And this is why I'm laboring in this, to help you to understand, because God has a purpose, a reason. It is in his divine plan. Only God can make that veil that Satan has control over. Only he can remove that. Now the question I raise is, and you ask, well, why isn't God taking that veil away from more and more people then? Well, we don't know about that. That is where we pray. That is where we intercede. That is where we supplicate before God for the salvation of our families, our loved ones, our neighbours and so on. That is where prayer comes in. But remember this, brothers and sisters, there is a protocol, a spiritual protocol in heaven, in the courts of heaven. And Satan still has a hold and a right. He is still the God of this world, blinding the eyes of many. But he will be put down. And the final thing that will be put down will be death. But until then, we walk by faith and not by sight. Why do I say there's a protocol in heaven? Because we see it on the earth. We see it in governments. We see it when leaders are elected, or if they have to try and remove a corrupt government or whatever it is. You have to go through certain legislation, laws, and so forth. It can't just be done. And it's the same in heaven. The power of the gospel opens eyes. And we, brothers and sisters, have to recognize if there's still blindness with us. And that is why the Holy Spirit has come, as I bring this to a close. This is why he has come to lead and guide and teach us. And this is why he will bring a thing to the fore, to deal with it. And we have to deal with it. We have to still deal with areas of unbelief. Because where there's unbelief still, we can be critical. We can be skeptical. We can be denying the Lord. That's why God hates unbelief. That's why he sees it as sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because God has provided in his light, in his glory, to open up the word of God to us, to illumine the word. We are without excuse. And that is why he's raising the sons of God now. This is why we have the man-child. This is why we're going to see that God will come for the overcomers, for the wise virgins, because they are the ones who've not suppressed or pushed it to one side, or I'll deal with it tomorrow, for tomorrow never comes. No, they realize their need of revelation, their need of seeing this word, this gospel, this good message. And this is why I say so often that faith comes by hearing this word or reading it and also praying over it, so that I might see. Because God wants you to see. He wants you to see his glory, his light. That's ultimately what the gospel, the promises of God's word are, is for you and I to see his glory, the same glory that Adam and Eve experienced. And the devil came along and he hid them from God's glory. Well, God is restoring everything back now to us through Jesus Christ. And he's baptized us in the Holy Spirit, empowered us for the very purpose that we would not be in blindness anymore, or in that fog, or imagining in that fog what lies ahead or whatever it is. No. We're not to walk that way. He is the light of the world, and he shines as a light, and he'll also shine unbelief, he will shine sin in our lives, in our hearts, so that we're not under the law, but we're under grace and mercy. We don't have that veil anymore that's over our eyes. But he counsels us to buy that eye salve that we might see. But brothers and sisters, it's entirely up to you. I can only preach this, I can only present this to you, but you have to take it away and apply it and ask for it. And that's what sorts out a man or woman who grows in wisdom, grace and love and mercy. Some will hear and do nothing with it, but others will fall on their knees. Lord, I want to see. I don't want that veil over my eyes. I want to see your glory. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are opening our eyes to see. You've given us your word. We were once veiled. We were blind. We were just going with the rest of the world. But you have mercy on us. And you stopped us in our tracks, just like you stopped the great Apostle Paul and said, enough. You will now follow me. But not only that, Father, you've given us your word. You've given us the power of the Spirit. You've given us revelation, the light, your glory to shine that we may see and comprehend it. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing with us. It's infinite. It's great. Words cannot express what the Spirit is doing in our lives and hearts. And so, Father, thank you for our meeting. Thank you for our gathering today. Bless my brothers and sisters. May the Word of God be revealed more and more to them and illumine their minds, their hearts, so that the seed of the Word goes into their heart. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.